Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
What is true repentance? You've probably heard people talk about repentance before, and you've probably heard that a lot. You've probably thought about it and talked about it yourself in the past. But what is true repentance? And who really knows what repentance is? What does a person need to repent of? We hear people talk all the time about repentance, but what do you repent of? And who is repentance toward? It's a very, very important topic, as we'll see. It's talked about many, many times in God's Word. Herbert W. Armstrong wrote a book entitled The Incredible Human Potential. We would like to give that to you for free if you haven't already gotten your own copy of it. But in that book, he wrote this about the subject of repentance. Quote, "Repentance is not merely being sorry for something one has done, or even many such sins. It is a real repentance of what one is and has been, of his whole past attitude and life apart from God." Now, have you ever thought about repentance that way? Have you ever thought about it to that degree and to that depth? Well, that actually is what your Bible teaches about the subject. Repentance is more than just merely being sorry for something. I've had people tell me, oh, I've repented of that over and over and over and over many, many, many times. And really what they've done is they've asked to be forgiven of something, which is good as well. We do need to ask God for forgiveness. We need to confess our sins before God and ask Him for forgiveness. But repentance goes much deeper than that. It goes far beyond that. Repentance, again, this quote, "Repentance is not merely being sorry for something one has done, or even many such sins. It is a real repentance of what one is and has been, of his whole past attitude and life apart from God." See, we repent of who and what we are and what we have been apart from God. Going on this quote, it reads, "It is a total change of mind and heart and direction of life. It is a change to a new way of life. It is a turning from the self-centered way of vanity, selfishness, greed, hostility to authority, envy, jealousy, and unconcern for the good and welfare of others. And you turn from those things to the God-centered way of obedience, submission to authority, love toward God more than love of self, and love and concern for other humans equal to self-concern." Now, I think you would agree that there is a lot there to think about and to meditate on and to pray about if we're going to come to a real deep level of repentance the way God wants us to. To truly repent, we have to see ourselves truly for what we are and who we are apart from God. Human nature, as we call it, is just so full of selfishness and vanity and greed and hostility and jealousy and concern for self more than concern for God and more than concern for others. We have to see who and what we are apart from God. Now, with God and with God's help and with God's power, with God's Holy Spirit, and with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, well, we can learn and begin to think differently and be different than that. But of and by ourselves, we are, as human beings, are so full of vanity and selfishness and all of those things there that we just listed off. And we really have to see that to begin repenting the right way. And of course, God has to be very much involved in that process, as we'll see as we go along here. But repentance is a matter of turning completely away from sin. Now, you'll hear people tell you that you need to repent, but do they really understand what repentance is and the level of depth that is involved in this, like what we're talking about, and do they understand what you repent of? Most people tell you that God's law is done away with. Well, if God's law is done away with, what do we repent of? 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, we repent of transgressing God's law. God's law is simply His way of thinking, His way of living, His way of life. Anything contrary to that is sin, and that's what we want to repent of. And again, that's more than merely being sorry about doing something wrong. It's about changing. It's about turning and going in a different direction. We repent of sin, and repentance is a matter of turning completely away from sin and going in the opposite direction, going in the right direction. And that process does require that we know what sin is. And we have to come to recognize sin in our own lives, or else how can we overcome it? Faith is a big part of this as well. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. If you have your Bible, you can turn over there. If not, I'll just read it to you here. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Impossible to please God. "For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Do you diligently seek God and approach him with faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Romans 14 and verse 23 then says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So again, we can see when we talk about sin and what we need to repent of, well, the law of God is certainly a key in all of this. Faith is key in all of this. Now, whatever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so if you put all of this together, you know, breaking God's law is sin. Not doing what God says to do is sin. Doing things that God says not to do is sin. Not walking by faith is sin. And the common denominator in all of this regarding the subject of sin is God's law. Again, God's law is His way of living. And anything contrary to living like God and His way of living and His way of thinking, learning to think like God, anything contrary to that is sin. And that's what we need to change. And that's what we need to repent of. That's what we repent of, and it really does have more to do with the future than it does the past. Yes, we have remorse. Yes, we are sorry for wrong things and wrong ways of our past, but true repentance is all about changing. It's all about going forward in a new and a different and a right way. So it does have more to do with the future than the past, because it's about turning around and going in a different direction. Not one of us can do that on our own. We're just woefully inadequate. Notice Romans chapter 2. So if we're going to be successful in this, we're going to have to take it to God, go before God, like we just read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We have to go to God and know that He is there, know that He's listening to us, and know that He will hear us and answer us, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But we do have to diligently seek Him. And then notice what He can do for us, what He can help us with. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, "Despise you the riches of His goodness or forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." You see, we can't do this on our own. God does expect us to diligently seek Him. He expects us to come to Him with a humble and a contrite and a teachable spirit. And then with His help, with His power, the power of God's Holy Spirit, God will lead us to true repentance. But you see, you can't work that up on your own. You can't work up repentance. This can only be done by God. And with God's great power and His help. So ask God, go before God in faith, with humility, with a contrite, teachable spirit, wanting to learn to think like him and to live like him and to live according to his law and his way. And if you do, then ask him in faith to lead you to repentance. And it will lead you to a total and complete separation from your former ways. Let it cut deeply to the point to where you change, to where you know that change is the answer and change is the solution. And that leads us to another very important point in this subject. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we do have to have faith toward Jesus Christ, but notice our repentance is toward God. God is the great lawgiver, and our repentance has to be toward Him. When we sin, when we violate God's way, when we violate God's law, you see, we're violating His way of life and what He has established that is right. And we repent toward God. Faith toward Christ, but repentance toward God. The editor-in-chief of The Trumpet magazine and thetrumpet.com, the presenter of the Key of David program, Mr. Gerald Fleury, he wrote a wonderful booklet entitled Repentance Toward God. And again, we suggest that you get a copy of that as well and study it thoroughly, study it deeply. It'll show you the right attitude that you must be in to truly and deeply repent. Like King David, you know, King David made some serious mistakes in his life, but he knew how to repent. And because of that, really, and the changes that he made in his life, God said, well, he was a man after his own heart. And that's what we all want to be. We're all flawed. Not one of us is sinless. King David was not sinless, but God said he was a man after his own heart. And he really couldn't have said that if David didn't know how to repent towards God. Here's a quote from that booklet. Sin is something that needs to horrify us. We must be aware of what Christ did for us, grow in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about what Christ did. Think about what God did. You can study on your own Zechariah 12 and verse 10, where it talks about the depth of repentance we need to come to where it's as though our own firstborn was pierced, like God had to experience having His own Son crucified and brutalized, and is in having a spear pierced into the side of His body. Well, sin should horrify us the same way that it horrifies God. Sin is something, here's that quote again, sin is something that needs to horrify us. We must be aware of what Christ did for us, grow in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in that sacrifice, then repent toward God who planned the whole thing. You know, especially if you're a parent, that the Father must have suffered horribly along with Christ. If you have problems that keep recurring in your life, evaluate yourself by this measure. Are you repenting toward God? Realize your evil before God.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, right here on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. As a reminder, if you've missed any part of today's program or any of the past episodes of Live by Every Word, you can go find those. Those are located at kpcg.fm. You can download those and listen to them there. Two pieces of literature to offer to you today, a book and a booklet. They're both free. They're both at thetrumpet.com. The first one, the book, is titled Incredible Human Potential. The Incredible Human Potential, written by the late Herbert W. Armstrong, goes into your Bible and shows you, from God's Word, what the potential of mankind is. That includes everybody. That includes you. And it's a lot better than you could even imagine. Make sure that you request that book and then read it, The Incredible Human Potential. Also, a booklet, Repentance Toward God. Do you know the difference between godly repentance and worldly sorrow? That's something that most people don't know the difference between those two. But this booklet, Repentance Toward God, could dramatically change your life. It shows you the difference between godly repentance and just being temporarily sorry about something, or worldly sorrow. Make sure that you request that free booklet, Repentance Toward God, along with the free book, The Incredible Human Potential. Those are both available for free, and they're at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking about the subject of true repentance. To begin the second half of this program, I wanted to just look at how prominent this message is in God's Word. And we'll just begin in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, this is talking about John the Baptist even before Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry. And we can just pick it up here in verse 1. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we need to repent, because the time has come for God to establish his church through Jesus Christ and to begin calling individuals, calling them out of this world, to begin preparing them and teaching them and preparing them for the kingdom of God and for service in that government, in that family of God. The time was now to begin setting up pillars and helpers and leaders in that kingdom of God. That's what it's all talking about. And it starts with repentance. It starts with us recognizing just who and what we are apart from God, and the need to change and to begin learning how to be more and more like God, to change from sin and to begin being more like God, determining to change in those areas with God's help and with God's power, and to make that change permanent. Now, that is very clear instruction throughout, as you'll see as we go along in these verses. Now, skipping down to verse 7, there were some that came, and they didn't really have this repentant spirit and this repentant attitude, and yet they wanted to be baptized anyway. Verse 7, "But when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance,'" or worthy for repentance. Now, they were commanded, they were told, look, you're not going to be baptized. It didn't matter how much they tried to pretend to be righteous. Where were the fruits of repentance? Where were the fruits? Where was the evidence that they were changing from their own carnal, natural way, the way of man, that selfishness and vanity and greed and all the things we talked about in the first half? Where were the fruits? Where was the evidence that they were striving to change, that God was leading them, that they were submitting themselves to God to allow him to lead them to real repentance? And again, what are our fruits? What are my fruits? What are your fruits? Will there be fruits in our lives to show that we are truly repenting and changing, that we're humbling ourselves before God and allowing him to lead us to repentance, as Romans 2 and verse 4 says? I mean, that's the only way that this can happen. I'm not righteous of him by myself to do something like that, and neither are you. We have to humble ourselves and surrender ourselves before God and allow God to lead us to real repentance, real change, and that's the only way that this can ever happen. But this is such a prominent theme. It starts out here right at the very beginning of the book of Matthew, the beginning of the New Testament, before Jesus Christ even begins his ministry, and you can see the emphasis that is placed on true repentance. Now then, Matthew chapter 4, here we come to the very beginning of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, and notice how he begins it. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His message was for people to first and foremost, they needed to repent. Otherwise, the full weight of the gospel couldn't be felt. It couldn't set in. It couldn't be understood, really. If you'll turn over to the next book in the Bible, Mark's account, Mark chapter 1, we'll see exactly the same thing here. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, after John the Baptist is talking about, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, that's another subject we'll get into, but why don't you hear people in this world talking about the kingdom of God? A literal kingdom. It's a literal government and that is going to rule over this earth. That is what Jesus Christ preached from the very beginning until the end of his earthly ministry. Verse 15, and saying, and this is how where he began his earthly ministry, preaching about the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Was it any different with his disciples? And we see John the Baptist preaching that message about the kingdom of God and about that it begins with us repenting. And we see Jesus Christ preaching exactly the same thing. And now notice here in Mark chapter 6, going forward a little ways, talking about this is where Jesus Christ is instructing his disciples, the apostles, the ministers that would serve after him and under him. And verse 12 says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. So think about how prominent this is just in these few verses right at the very beginning of the New Testament. John the Baptist's message, Jesus Christ's message at the beginning of his earthly ministry, what he sent his disciples out to preach. They went out and preached that men should repent. Men should repent. You should repent. I have to repent. We all do because we're all so flawed apart from God. And we have to come to recognize that, or else how can we go forward with any kind of a meaningful spiritual life at all? Acts chapter 2. Notice now we've come all the way to the point here that Jesus Christ has completed his earthly ministry. He died. He was resurrected, and he had gone to heaven, gone back to heaven from where he had come. And here on the first day of Pentecost, after the New Testament church actually began on this day, and this is the first sermon preached by one of the disciples after they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the people who were there, verse 37, says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They heard this sermon, and they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, repent. That is the beginning of the entire process, isn't it? We just see that over and over. And then they're to go on and be baptized and receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Now, why is this such a prominent message? Why do we see it over and over? Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. The Apostle Paul wrote about some of the foundational, basic doctrines of the church, of the true church of God. And he spells those out here in Hebrews chapter 6. And notice what is at the top of the list here. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptism, and the laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And here he lists off just the basic truths, the basic doctrines of God's church. And right at the top of the list, he says, well, here, now we're looking at this body of beliefs that leads to perfection, and Paul calls it our foundation, and right at the very beginning here, right at the top of the list of what it should be built on, the top of the list, it says repentance. That's absolutely critical for any of us if we're going to have a future with God. And you just see this over and over and over. Let's go back and look at Psalm chapter 51. I mentioned King David near the end of the first half of this episode. And he really was a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect. And we all know that he made some serious mistakes in his life. But King David really knew how to humble himself before God and how to repent and how to put those sins behind him. He wasn't just sorry for what he had done in the past. Now, there's an element of remorse, of course, but it has to go much further than that. And let's take a look at this example. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, David is saying, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Now, think about the faith, the courage, the humility that David is talking to God with. Do you pray to God like this? Do you talk to God like this? Going on, verse 4. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. You see, repentance is toward God. David understood that he had hurt Bathsheba. He understood that he had hurt Bathsheba's husband. He understood that he had hurt all of Israel. But his sin was against God. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. You see, God is righteous and God is the lawgiver and God is full of love. He's full of kindness. He's full of forgiveness and mercy and all of that. But we have to repent toward him and we must do it with this same spirit and the same attitude that King David had. He was ashamed of himself and he could see his own human nature. He could see his own flaws. He could see what he really was apart from God. And it abhorred him, and he wanted God to forgive him, and he was determined, and with God's help, to be very different going forward. Now, you can go on and read the rest of that chapter. It's a marvelous chapter, but verse 17, I'll just read this to you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A broken and a contrite heart, a broken spirit, God will not despise. Make sure you ask God for his humility. Go before God with that sort of a humble spirit. And that kind of a spirit, God will respond to. And then God will lead you to true repentance. And true repentance will bring joy in your life. Sin brings misery and complications. Remember this, obedience will simplify your life. Disobedience will bring all sorts of complications and misery into your life. Obedience will bring joy. Herbert Armstrong once said that in surrendering to God in complete repentance, he found unspeakable joy in accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and his present High Priest. You can find that same joy, but you must repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what God instructs us to do. That's what the Bible instructs us to do over and over and over. And we have to understand repentance in order to enter into God's family and to receive eternal life. It's essential that we understand this subject. It is a most important subject. And you need to study further into it with humble prayer like we read there in Psalm 51. I'll conclude with another quote from The Incredible Human Potential. Here, Mr. Armstrong wrote this, "The truly converted Christian will find that he often stumbles under temptation and falls down, even as a physical child learning to walk often falls down. But the year-old child does not get discouraged and give up. He gets up and starts again. You see, you don't need to be discouraged. You don't need to give up. You don't need to be down. You need to repent. And then God will help you. God will lift you up. God will forgive you. God will lead you to true change, true repentance. Going on with this quote, Mr. Armstrong writes, "The truly converted Christian is not yet perfect. God looks on the heart, the inner motive, the real intent. And if he is trying, if he gets up whenever he falls down, and in repentance asks God's forgiveness, and sets out to do his very best not to make that mistake again, and to persevere with renewed effort to overcome, God is rich in mercy toward that man in his striving to overcome." So until next week, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.